Mark 4, beginning at verse 21. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Christ, once again, is going to teach his disciples another parable. He uses the common image of a candle to teach a profound truth. In the day of Christ, there would have been an oil lamp. Every house had one. It was to provide light in the dark. Houses in that day had notches cut into the wall so that a lamp could be placed there. It wasn't to be hidden under a bushel or under a basket. The primary meaning of this parable is to illustrate a spiritual truth, specifically spiritual light. When Christ shared the word, he was giving light to the world. His light was given to speak to people that was in spiritual darkness. Christ, it is said, is the light of the world. Again, John 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is the light of the world. There's no other light. Now, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Taoism, or any other ism, Christ and Christ alone is the light of the world. And he was designed to reveal the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ, and Christ glorifies the Father. John 14, 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? He who has seen Christ has seen God the Father.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit brings light to Christ. Christ brings light to the Father. The light of Christ is increased in its intensity. It increased in its intensity as he walked the earth, culminating at Calvary. Dying for sinners so that we would be able to be atoned for. Our sins would be able to be atoned for, making propitiation for the wrath of God. Christ is the light. When Christ saves us, each individual, they become regenerated or born again. When Christ saves us, he places his light within us. In and of ourselves, we have no light. But in Christ, the Holy Spirit is put inside us, and now that light is to come forth. It is not to be hidden. He wants us to have his light shining through us. Galatians said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And now that light that walked the earth 2,000 years ago is now to walk through this world to his people. Turn to Matthew 5:16. This is what we are to be about. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, notice, and glorify your Father in heaven. The same thing that Christ did. He glorified the Father who is in heaven. Now Christ indwells his people, and we are to be a light that shines, that people see our good works, and they glorify our Father who is in heaven. That is our job. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 8. We are to be lights that shine, for it is the light of Christ in us. Ephesians 5. Excuse me, I got a lot of cross references today. 5:8. For you were once darkness. Notice, once past, this was your condition before. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is what we are to be about. We are to reflect Christ in our daily lives. And as a result, people will glorify the Father who is in heaven. But unfortunately, many of us are guilty of hiding that light. Turn to Romans 13, 11 through 14. Romans 13, 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time, his poor thumb, to awake out of sleep. It's high time for many of us to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And I look at many of us here. We all have the same color hair. I see a lot of white-haired folk in our midst. The day is at hand. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, notice, and let us put on the armor of light. The time, brothers and sisters, is far spent. I'm 64 now. I can pretty much assume I don't have another 64 years. Let us, notice what he says, awake out of our sleep. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, notice, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We are to put on the armor of light, and we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to live our lives with Christ working that light out of us in order that the Father in heaven would be glorified. Notice what Mark 4:22 says. It reminds us that light holds the power to make hidden things plain. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. That it should come to light, the hidden things of God. But not only the hidden things of God, the Holy Spirit shows you the hidden things of God revealed in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, the hidden things of life. But this is when it gets a little dicey. It also reveals the hidden things of men and women. That is why so many people who have heard the gospel message have rejected it. The gospel is a message of salvation, but it is also a message of confrontation. Christ had no problem with the people when he was feeding them. Thousands of them were gathering. But as soon as he brought the hard truths forth, As soon as the light was revealing, was confronting, was digging in the soil of men and women's heart, the people left. That Christ even asked his intimate disciples, are you going to leave too? When you're feeding the 5,000, when everybody's happy and clappy, they'd be filling up the buildings, filling up the stadiums. But once the light comes in, just like you take a rock and you lift it up, and what happens? All the little denizens of the darkness start scattering. And so it is with the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached in all of its glory, and it starts digging in your heart and saying, guilty, 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 people don't want to hear it. They reject it. As I said, the gospel is a message of salvation, but also a message of confrontation. For there is none hidden which will not be revealed. It's like you're not fooling nobody. You're not fooling God Almighty, certainly. Nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. That it should come to light. As I said, the word, the light, reveals the darkness of people's hearts. When the gospel is preached, the light exposes and people flee. Why do they flee? You see the signs up in not anymore, they don't have ball games anymore. But for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That God so loved the world, right? Whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Everybody loves that. There's the comfort. There's the gospel. But turn to John 3. And let's look at verses 18 to 21. They said a lot of people, they stop at John 3:16. But they fail to look at the rest of the chapter. As I said, the word preached, the light comes in. It's either going to be comfort or it's going to be confrontation. And this is what happens. When the light starts exposing, when it starts to confront, beginning at verse 18 to 21, he who believes in him is not condemned. People are like, hallelujah. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Uh-oh. But I thought Jesus is love and everything like that. But he who does not believe is condemned already. You can't even say that word in most churches today. Condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's no other way to be saved but by Christ, Christ alone. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Not going to be condemned, condemned already. Condemned already. The execution just hasn't taken place. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Notice that the light. Christ is the light. He came into the world. He died. He rose again. When you become born again, he puts his light inside of you. And then all of a sudden, if you truly speak the word of God, this is what's going to happen. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world. Notice, when you scratch your head, why are men and women doing what they're doing? Why is the world being the way that it is? Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. That is the condition of mankind apart from Jesus Christ. They love the darkness. And it doesn't matter, well, that's my family member. Or that person is too small or too big. Men loved the darkness, not attracted to, liked it, fell into it. They loved the darkness rather than light. That's why people don't come to Christ. They love the darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. So if you're listening to somebody speak the truth of the word, or if somebody's preaching the truth of the word to you, you're going to become furious with the person. Because maybe your deeds are evil. Maybe your deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil, notice, hates the light. You're not neutral about the light. Hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. That's why people flee. It's all of a sudden, oh, they see me. Oh. How much more does God see you? But the good news is, the gospel is once the light exposes your sinful deeds, you're not to run. Well, I should say, you should run. Not out the door, but to Calvary. Amen. To Calvary. Just like the thief on the cross that said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ said to him, today you'll be in paradise with me. He saw his sins, and he even knew Rome saw his sins. He's being crucified for his sins, for his transgressions. But people flee when the light comes in. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light. That's why a lot of people don't pray. You go to the Lord in prayer and it's like, boom, the high beams go on. The searchlight goes on. It's like, well, I think I get out of here. I'll come back tomorrow. Maybe God will change his mind about that sin. The light exposes. You might as well come clean, because look at Revelation 20. In the end, brothers and sisters, and friend, if you're listening today and you're not a child of God, you might as well come clean, because it's going to get all exposed at the last day anyway.
That's right.
It's like, who are you fooling? Come clean. Come clean, and the gospel is, come to Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Then I saw a white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. This is who you're going to have to deal with. He ain't some little rubber figurine on somebody's lawn at Christmas time. Or some scrawny, beat-up, European-looking guy. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, no matter your station in life, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead. You ain't going to hide there. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who was in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what your Bible says. No matter how unpleasant you would find that today, no matter what your arguments would be about it, your argument is with God Almighty. He said that is what's going to happen, that every one of us that has ever lived is going to give an account for every single thing you ever did. And you will be either found in the book of life or you won't. And those who are in the book of life are those who have been regenerated. So I would say this. It is far better to drag your sins out into the open now and confess them now to the Lord and repent now than waiting for God to expose them in that day. The question is this. Is his light shining on you right now? Is a hard work being done on you right now? That's why I said people don't want the light. It exposes their sin. Mark 4, verse 24 tells us this. Excuse me. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. There's many voices competing for our attention. We must be very careful to who and to what we listen to. We must be careful to listen to God's voice and God's voice alone. What saith the Scripture? What does God say? When we hear His voice, we must obey His voice. He calls us to salvation, we come. He calls us to commitment, we commit. He calls us to believe, we believe. This is the will of God. It's what it says about the will of God. What is the will of God? To believe. Question is, where do we hear His voice? Is it this little private thing you got going on with God? And He tells you things that aren't in line with the Scripture? Or do you go to quote-unquote other holy books? You go to the Bible. And the Bible alone. We're cautioned to hear His voice. What did the Father say? Listen to Him. To Christ. Listen to Him. What is the Great Commission? What does the Great Commission say? Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore, this is the words of Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice, teaching them to observe all things. Notice, that I have commanded you. That Christ has commanded. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice, when you're slipping and sliding, where do you look? You look to Christ for your sanctification. He's telling you, you know what? No matter what happens, child of God, no matter what happens, I am with you even to the end of the age. When that light is looking like a little flicker, when that lamp, you're like, oh man, the oil is going to go out here. My life is a mess. I got off the road again. I'm falling. I'm slipping and sliding. I'm backslipping. There's no backslipping. Woo, backslidden. Christ reminds us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What voice are you going to listen to? The voice of men? The voice of other religions? Or are you going to listen to God Almighty, what He has told us? Mark 4:24 tells us this. Take heed what you hear. What you hear, with the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. We're commanded to obey and to believe. We're to proclaim the gospel, and we're also comforted by His promises of giving us more as we give away. It will be measured to you who hear, more will be given. What is it that you're lacking today? And I'm not, if you think I'm talking about money or cars or anything like that, you haven't been listening. You're full of envy, you're full of greed, you're full of gossip, you're full of hatred, you're full of bitterness, you're full of ungodliness, you have no love for the Lord, it's all stale. It's just everything is by rote. I go to church because I got it. I read the Bible because I got it. I pray because I got it. Then you need to ask Christ to cause you to love Him. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. Whatever it is you're lacking, your problem is you do not love Christ enough. You're not looking at Christ enough. It's all about Christ. You're lacking in love for Christ, as I said. Is it all just mundane to you? Just another day? Or are you like, wow, Jesus loves me. Amen. I'm a saint. I'm seated in heavenly places. I've been justified, sanctified, glorified. I've been promised that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That in that day I see Him, I shall be like Him. Whatever your struggle is, you look to Christ. He says He'll give you more as you learn the Word. The Scripture says to give it away. If you hoard the truth, there's no reason for God to give you more. Listen, look at John 7. I know sometimes, maybe you might say, man, this is getting a little intense. Well, I'll tell you why it may be getting a little intense. John 7, 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That is to be our lives, brothers and sisters. Rivers of living water. Like when I was a kid, they used to turn the fire hydrant on in the city. And that water used to come flying out of there with a high intensity. That is what we're to be as Christians. Not, I don't smoke or drink or chew or go with girls that don't. That's not Christianity. It's you are in love with Jesus Christ and it's falling out of you. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living waters. The truth is to flow out of you, but unfortunately many of us are like ponds. Like ponds. The truth flows in, and nothing ever flows out. That's why the Dead Sea is dead. It has no way to escape the water. It goes in and it lays there. And how many of our lives were like a pond? We go to church, we get filled up, the pond gets filled up, and it just lays there, gets stagnant. We never put it into practice. You can hear this truth today, walk out the door and give it no thought again. It's supposed to, brothers and sisters, rivers of living water. There's supposed to be love flowing out of you. Peace, goodness, joy, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. It's you to be filled up with it and it's flowing out of you. That's what we're called to. Rivers of living water, because we serve a God that loves to give more. And as I said, this is where the prosperity people tickle the people's ears and give them what they want to hear. We serve a God who loves to give more. Not, I give 100, let me see, 30, 60, 100-fold, it looks pretty good return on my money. Better with the Lord than Wall Street. That's not what he's talking about. As I said, you're lacking love, ask him to give you more. Joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, whatever it is. You're lacking in your love to Christ? The answer is not to pull your bootstraps up even further up your legs. It's to ask the Father to give you more. What does he say? You're lacking with the Holy Spirit? Ask him for more of the Holy Spirit. You're lacking in your love to Christ? Ask him more. What's Mark 4? Tell us. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. Whoever has, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. As I said, our God is a God that loves to give more. He abundantly pardons us. Look at Isaiah 55:7. Maybe you don't understand abundantly. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he abundantly pardons. Not just pardons, abundantly pardons. Exceedingly, abundantly. Our God loves to give abundantly. His mercies are new every morning. Hebrews tell us not only does God save, but he saves us to the uttermost. Our God loves to give. But unfortunately, many of us, we get blessed and we got closed hands. That's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And I'm going to keep it in this pond, and this is going to be all about me. God gives you, it goes out of you, he gives you more, it goes out, and that's the way you live your life till they shut the box on your face. And the Lord is saying that even if you have a little bit and you don't use that, that'll even dry up. God, as I said, he loves to give. He doesn't just save you and forgive you. He also adopts you. He could have just saved you and forgive you your sins, give you forgiveness of sins. But he adopts you, because our God loves to give. As I said, he gives peace and joy and hope and blessing. To show you how much he gives, he gave his very own son. He gave his very own son. As I said, Mark 4:25 tells us God gives more to the person who hears the truth and passes it on. Why would God give you any more truth than you have already, and it's just sitting in the pond of your heart and it's not going out of you? It is to flow out of you. And then you go back to the Lord and you get filled once again. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, okay, one time I put my hand on a TV, I started speaking in an unknown language, I'm filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit is daily, every single day. You gave out, you're getting filled back up. It's going out, you're getting filled. It's going out, it's getting filled. And like I said, rivers of living water coming out of you. And the first ones who ought to know it is your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, your kids, your neighbors, your co-workers. They should be, man, this guy is crazy. This woman is nuts. What's with all this love and peace and joy and forgiveness? And I'll lay down my life. And if you spit in my face, I'll forgive you. And even if you kill me, I still love you. The world would be like, man, these people are crazy. But that's the way we're supposed to be, brothers and sisters. Giving more and more and more. God gives more to the person that passes it on. He grows in the things of God. She grows in the things of God in ways that you never could have imagined. Brothers and sisters, we are plants. We are to be growing continually. But far too often, the cares of this world or whatever, our growth gets stunted. We are to be a blessing to those around us. That's what it means to be a light. The person, it says in the scripture, who rejects the truth, they'll even see their ability to recognize the truth diminished. The more you hear, the more you're accountable for. That's why it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to hear a lot of messages and a lot of truth. Not only the scripture is saying, not only will this kind of person receive less truth, they'll eventually lose their grasp of truth, of the truth that they once had. Just like if you practice any instrument or participate in any discipline, if you played the flute 40 years ago and they played it 40 years ago, in 40 years I can tell you, you probably lost what you had 40 years ago. And the same it is with the truth. If you hear this truth today and just ignore it, Lord will be like, whoosh. You don't need it. You don't need it. Rejecting spiritual truth will develop into a tragedy in your life. After 30 years in the ministry, you don't know how many people I've seen this in their lives. And my brother was preaching on worldliness this morning in the Bible study. Far too often, that's what happens to people. They get wrapped up in the world, as we saw in the soil, I believe it was last week or the week before. You get wrapped up in the cares of this world. Your heart, man, goes after this world as opposed to Jesus Christ. Christ you need to be in love with. I want to spend all my time that I possibly can outside of Christ with my wife because I love her. That's because it's my duty. Oh, at 6 o'clock, I got to see her again at dinner time. So it is to be with Christ. If your church attendance is not making you more Christ-like, it's worthless. Your Bible study, if it's not making you Christ-like, is worthless. Your prayer time, if it's not because you want to know Christ, love Christ, grow in Christ, it is worthless. And don't get me wrong. I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination, please, don't try to take a little clip out of the message and say, oh, well, Bill said this. Prayer is beautiful. Bible study is beautiful. Church attendance is beautiful. Beautiful. All of that is beautiful. If it makes you more like Christ. If it's just a discipline to think that, you know, okay, I checked that box. You're mistaken. Rejection of the truth eventually condemns people. There's people maybe here today that are not saved, going to hear it once again. Come to Christ. Bring him your sins. Your sins are exposed. Even now the Holy Spirit's going, guilty, guilty, guilty. You keep rejecting the truth. There come a day you're not even going to hear it anymore. The little candle, remember this, holds tremendous power. It has the ability to dispel darkness. You go into a dark room at 4 o'clock in the morning, you can light the smallest little match that you can possibly find. And that little bit of light will dispel the darkness. And brothers and sisters, that's the way it's supposed to be in our lives, as we live our lives. The darkness of all of our friends and family and co-workers, that is around us. That is what we're to be doing. I used to like that little ditty, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The only problem is this little light of mine. It's Christ's light shining out of me. And I still do like the song. I just don't like the lyrics so much. We got to let the light shine so that a lost world, a world lost in darkness, might see the way to come to Christ. It may cost you everything to give the light to others. Brothers and sisters, there's hundreds of thousands of our brothers and sisters in prisons throughout the world that are being martyred, that are being slain. It may cost us everything to give the light to others. And we have to be willing to pay that price. We must never be guilty of hoarding the light, of hiding the light, or of hindering the light. And the question is this. You've been confronted with the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Every one of these messages, I got to chew on it all week. What am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? The truth has been revealed. Let me close with Mark 4 and read the text again. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him.